Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sam Legasic.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd. This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oddcast, Movies, Music and Gaming. And here, I'm with Dan. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you doing?
Having a great time. I've been watching loads of stuff, listening to loads of stuff since we last chatted.
Consuming.
I'm a, max consumer.
Well, today, because we haven't done one in a while, we thought we would just spend a few minutes having a little bit of a minisode and a little catch up on stuff that we've watched and done. I haven't really planned for this.
But no.
I can just generally, I can go through some stuff that would be at the forefront of my mind, which will probably be the most interesting anyway.
Yeah.
I did get one thing today, which I think you'll really like and is actually relevant to the show, which is through the post, I got the vinyl or soundtrack of Miami Connection.
No way.
Friends for Eternity, Loyalty, Honesty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's right behind me, actually. See if I can grab it, even though no one obviously on the podcast can see this.
Yeah, listeners, you can't see this. I'll do you a closed caption version.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam is wheeling back in his chair and laying hands on a red and purple vinyl package.
Mm. Yeah, so it's the same kind of cover that the weird illustrated cover that they use for the poster and stuff.
Yeah.
It's that. And then on the inside, I mean, I love this. If no one's actually watched it, listen, see if you can find it, but we have done an episode where we break down the film.
It was our first podcast together.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, right, you have to go way back for that.
Yeah.
And then it's got this cool, like, in the inner middle bit, it's got this cool thing of the band playing.
What the band called again?
Dragon Sound.
Remember? So cool.
And then on the back, it's got the end, which is basically where he's going around with the sword and killing everyone. God, this film is just so incredible. I take out the vinyl.
It's a forgotten, lost classic, isn't it? Of 80s over the top cheese.
Yeah, we did. When we did our like breakdown of it, it's worth listening to because it's, we go into like how it even got made basically and the release and how it got found and all this stuff. Cause it's just a bit random basically. So the vinyl itself, I mean, part of the reason for, because I've got loads of shit on my hands as well. You can kind of, can you kind of see that? It's like a red, like, black thing. I can't,
yeah, what, half red, half black?
Yeah.
Nice.
Spelly thing.
And this is cool because one of the things we spoke about when we did the podcast was like how pumping the soundtrack is. Yeah. I'm sure you even said I'd love to get this.
Mm. Yeah, well, I believe I did because I know it was on Spotify. So you can go and listen to it. But it might have been taken down, actually. I can't remember. But yeah, definitely, I've kind of always wanted this.
Has that only just come out then? Or
Yeah, it only just come out on, got it through Mondo, which is where I get obviously loads of stuff. And, oh shit, it's got the, look, it's, I know you always joke about how I handle records, but it is like, I'm just like a fucking, I'm like Bigfoot trying to like do some ballet or something. It's just so like ridiculous.
You look like you're trying to stuff a Christmas turkey.
Yeah, I am, yeah. But yeah, it's only got, it's got seven tracks. And then what's great is the bonus tracks, which I want to listen to, because yeah, I just got to say, which is Dragon Sound Live at Fantastic Fest. A live performance, I guess. I don't know. So I don't know what that's going to be. Friends and Against the Ninja karaoke versions.
Oh, you're going to get your microphone out.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I thought you'd like that.
That's cool. Yeah.
It came with a... I also bought the Mondo book, The Art of Soundtracks, which is just a lovely little coffee table book with all the fucking illustrations and all this shit in it. And that only just got released. I also got, actually, I'll show you as well, which obviously is great for the listeners, is I like kind of getting these art books, but we've talked about this before.
Cuphead.
It's The Art of Cuphead. And I've got the vinyl of this as well, which is cool. I still need to listen to it. But yeah, it's quite, this is a really nice book.
Wow.
Yeah. It's got all the different illustrations and how they came up with all the bosses and all this stuff.
That is brilliant. When you showed me that clip, the trailer for the game, I thought that just looked absolutely incredible. Yeah. What a gorgeous piece of work. Yeah, I'd be keen to play that at some point.
Yeah, it's two-player co-op as well, but it is so difficult. It might be the hardest game I've ever played. And it's like, and everyone goes, oh, Dark Souls. It's like, I can do Dark Souls, no problem. Cuphead, I have a real issue with. But yeah, what else have I been doing? I haven't really played any games. I'm still working my way through Demon's Souls. And me and my daughter are doing Paper Mario, which is quite cool. Quite nice. Doing a bit of that. I played randomly a little bit of Resident Evil 2 remake as well. And I just finished the Leon part. And that's been after that. It's like a 2-year gap from when I first played that to completing that bit of it. But I really enjoyed that. It was really good, actually. And I totally forgot most of what happened in the original game. So it all felt actually really fresh. And I forget, like, because I don't know if you remember playing Resident Evil 2, but it's the same game, but two discs and each one from a different perspective, which is quite revolutionary for the time. Oh, so good. But the whole thing is that you can do it in a session, basically. It's 8 hours or whatever. Maybe I think it might be a bit more, like 10 hours. And I think they might have added a bit more to the remake for each bit. And there's certain things that affect the other and all this stuff. But the one thing about it and what they really, really heightened was Mr. X, who, if you haven't played it, you won't remember. But basically he is like... it looks a bit weird in the remake, but at the time it was very scary and it's still pretty scary, but he's like this massive bloke in a trench coat and a hat, like an old school fucking detective. But he's like, you know, like Prometheus, those like weird alien, like, did you watch Prometheus?
Yeah.
They're like bald, those bald kind of god-like people.
Yeah.
He's like that, but he goes around and basically you can't kill him and he will come and find you wherever you are in the game. And it's relentless. So even if you're at like a I think it's a couple of save points where you're safe, but he will smash into rooms. He'll hear him coming as well. And you've like, sometimes you'll hide and hope he passes. Often he doesn't. and it's just, but throughout the whole game. So sometimes you're trying to just like unlock puzzles and negotiate zombies, try to get from A to B. And he will just fucking smash his way in. And then all of a sudden you're like, got to like run away from him and then try and hide before you can go to where you need to go. And he's probably hanging around there as well. And all this stuff. And all that was just like, it was an anxiety nightmare. But
yeah, I was thinking it sounds intense.
Yeah, it was really intense, but in a really good way. And I really, really enjoyed that. It felt different.
Speaking of Mr. X, I've been back on the streets of Rage 2.
I can't
get enough of it.
You so, complete it again.
My preferred character is Skate, but I played through as Axel,
right.
Beat it, and I'm halfway through playing as Max,
mm-hmm.
who I never used to enjoy all that much, but I'm having quite a good time with him. He's the big, big burly wrestler guy. So he's a bit slow, but I forgot how kind of fun it is. Just like he's really powerful.
Right.
How fun it is just walking through, just crushing people. Yeah, it's very good tension reliever.
Nice.
And I watched this film called Rollerball from 1975. Yeah, have you seen it? Yes.
Yeah, I've seen both of them because they remade it in 2001 or something like that.
Yeah,
like
it's really badly.
Cool J or something.
I was reading about it. It's really, really badly received.
It's awful.
About 3 on IMDb or something.
Mm.
I quite liked Rollerball. I liked the kind of Orwellian satire of the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I need to watch it again because I remember next to nothing about it. Like I watched it years and years ago.
It's basically like there's 5 big corporations now and they reference the corporate wars. But basically the whole world is controlled by 5 big conglomerates. And actually they keep everything in a kind of balance, in a sense of order. So there's no longer any war.
Right.
But so to satisfy people's like bloodlust and keep them in check, they create all these basically like entertainments and distractions for them. So the most popular sport is Rollerball, but it's really violent, I suppose, because people want blood. So basically they decide they want to retire the longest serving member of the team because it sends a bad message, basically, that the individual is greater than the team.
Yeah.
So this kind of leads like communistic kind of Soviet, it's Cold War era film, right? So so it's all about that, but... Then I read, so I thought it was really good, and I read, that influenced then the game, Speedball.
Yeah, Speedball, yeah.
Yeah, so... Mate,
Speedball 2, Brutal Deluxe, is not only one of the best sequels of all time, but also one of my favourite sports games.
No way. So last weekend, we watched Rollerball, and then had a little Speedball 2 tournament.
Nice.
Which I won.
Speedball 2, did you? Wicked. Speedball 2, if you do like the campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say like, it gets to a point quickly where it is fucking impossible to like, to win. But yeah, it's, and that's it's a British game as well.
Bitmap Brothers.
That's right, yeah.
You just pick it up and play it and it's just really immediate and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, God, I do love that. And then, like, just, oh, man, just thinking about it, getting those, like, angles in.
Yeah.
When it's, and all this stuff. And when you jump up, it's like that, or whatever.
Yeah.
Pat down, right? All that stuff.
Big hand, bouncing it through the warp.
That's right. Yeah.
And in between the games as well, you get a bit of money and you have to, like, spend it on your players.
That's right. Yeah.
And buying, like.
You can buy new players as well, right?
Yeah, or you can like buy better armor and this kind of thing. It's good fun. Good fun.
Yeah, it's good. Is it on the Mega Drive Mini thing? It's a Mega Drive game, isn't it?
I don't think it is, no.
Yeah. Have to find some other way. Check it out.
Some other way. If only there was some other way.
Yeah.
But then,
Not a legal way.
what else have I been doing? I bought, I don't know if you saw. I got the recent King Gizzard album, LW.
Okay, I thought you already had that, but okay.
No, well, they did, because they did KG, and yeah. I didn't get that, but LW.
I just presumed you've got, like, everyone when it comes out.
Yeah, well, KG, I missed the boat, and it was really, basically the only version you can get is, like, black, and so I'm hanging around, like, I thought I'll wait and get LW, because they're kind of like a bit of a, they're sister albums, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just release them as a double album, but I managed to get a couple of copies off of their website in Australia, like this golden version, and it turned up. And honestly, I've never seen a package that looked so warped.
Oh, shit, really?
I was like, it hadn't been traveling that long, like a week. So I was like, Jesus, it's not just weight. I think it's been like under heat as well.
Right.
But yeah, I took them out. I'm just like bent like fruit bowls. But I did an unboxing video on my channel.
See?
So I'm literally like, you can see my heart breaking.
Brilliant.
But they've been really good. Like, they got back to me within 2 days and were like, yeah, that is the most bent thing we've ever seen. And we're just shipping you some. Which I was surprised because there's only 2,000 copies and they sold out within minutes. So they must keep a few back.
Yeah, just in case. That's lucky, isn't it? Or maybe they can do stuff to order. I don't know.
It's good. Like, it's good that they're an independent and, you know, good customer service and all that. But that's a really, really good album. I recommend it. I didn't really like KG that much, but LW is really good. They're both these like microtonal tuning exploration albums. But I think KG's a little bit on like lighter side. LW's got a bit more breadth to it. Some heavy stuff in there as well.
I listened to it the once when it came out, front to back. And I haven't gone back to it only because I just like listen to other stuff. And also like, because it's so, happens so frequently and like, I just like, I don't know what to listen to, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I've listened to this, but it's like, for me, it sounds like, because I'm not like super familiar with the KG album. It's like, I could listen to any of these. It doesn't really matter. And I always go back to Nonagon Infinity or whatever as well.
They've got another new album coming out next week.
Yeah, I heard.
Can't keep up with it all. No. And they're doing these gigs. Did you see this? I think this is really cool. No. They're doing like 5 gigs. Okay. And they're all different kind of themes. And they've actually released the set list ahead of time so people can decide what they want to go and see.
That's a good idea.
But there's one that's like thrash metal. Mm-hmm. There's one that's like acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that's like really long, hippie, psychedelic jams.
Right.
I think there's like a garage psych rock kind of one with some of their early stuff.
Right.
I think that's a good idea.
Like, taking advantage of your massive body of work.
Yeah.
To be able to do stuff like that. It does make me think, like, with my own personal stuff, like how I've always tried to, separate things into different outfits and all this stuff. When it's like, should just do like an aerial pink or, yeah, like a King Gizzard and just be like,
mush it all together.
Just be like, it's one thing. Like,
yeah. You just need one consistent like production sound to make it all cohesive.
Yeah. But even then, like, I quite like mixing it up. I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I think I just need to kind of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm too old, basically, to start like spreading my bets.
Like, yeah, you can't have 6 different projects and bands. You just need Project Sam.
And even if it's like, you know, people dipping in and out or whatever, or like, or just me or whatever doing something, then at least it's a thing. Yeah. Which would be quite interesting.
Just get it out there.
Yeah.
Get it out.
Anything else musically you've been listening to?
Nothing particular I was going to talk about, I don't think. No. I've been listening to loads of Fall for some reason, just in a Fall patch.
Still need to listen to Fall. I'm still not. I know like you love them. I just haven't really explored it at all. I'm trying to, I'm just going to look back. This is a really boring way of doing it. Because there's a few things I remember listening to going, oh, I should speak to Dan about this.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, I can't remember what they are. I also have bought like a fucking shit ton of records. And I know like we do our little, have a listen, but I haven't actually, I haven't done it. And I thought because it's all like set up here, I wanted to do it all like, you know, nicey-nice. Yeah, it's annoying because now I've been listening to stuff and I can't remember what the fuck it is. I've been listening to that Shame album. It actually was something I discussed when we did our albums of 2020. I listened to that a bit more. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the album now off the top of my head. But I've liked it. It begins better than it ends, but... it didn't make my top 10, but randomly I've been listening to that a lot. And also like my mum brought around some of my records. So I stuck on some Smiths, I had to clean it up a lot. My Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair, and The Hurting, to be fair, are scratched to fuck. They are just like popping and whatever all over the place, which is kind I mean, it was not looked after properly before I got hold of it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably secondhand, aren't they? From charity shops or something.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not really that much of a surprise. What else have I been listening to? I've been listening back to William Onyebor.
Yes.
As well. And I watched that doc that you sent as well, which was quite interesting. Weird how he was like there and all this stuff and talking to people around him, but he just didn't want to chat. It's just like so weird, like that
I love that.
You're just like they're there, but you're still like big no.
So for listeners, yeah, this documentary is called Fantastic Man. It's just 30 minutes. It's on YouTube, and basically, yeah, William Onyebor, he did his albums late 70s to mid 80s, and then just vanished. And there's all these rumors, basically about his background, people saying he was linked to the Russian mafia or the KGB, all kinds of outlandish things. But they tracked down like people in his neighborhood and they were like, yeah, we don't really have anything to do with him and he doesn't have anything to do with us. But I think then he'd become a pastor or something.
Yeah, so he's a priest. It's all about Jesus now.
And they track him down. And like you say, he's just like, you can come in, and talk to me, but off camera. And you just see like the reception of his house and that's it.
Yeah. And he's got this little shrine to himself, which is a bit weird.
I love that. Maybe he just wanted to keep, you know, remain enigmatic.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a real head scratcher.
I don't know. There's a band I listen to called Public Practice. It's okay. It's not really that amazing. Something I did listen to, and you've probably heard it already, but I need to kind of go back and explore it more. It's Atta Kak. You heard of this guy?
No.
It's like, I can't remember where I read it somewhere, but he's got an album out called, and it's like, I believe it's fairly difficult to get hold of. I've no idea. I think it was only released on like tape or something. Called Oba Sima. It was 2015. I don't know when it was originally released. I don't really know. Maybe it was originally released and I don't really know anything about it. And it's, yeah, I think it's the kind of stuff you'd like. I think it's like Afro, I don't know, psychedelic kind of weird stuff.
That sounds good. Atta Kak.
Atta Kak, as in A-T-A-K-A-K.
Not Atta Kak.
Not Utter Cack, no. So this is it. It was released in 1994 originally in Ghana and Canada randomly.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's supposed to be, oh my God, like kind of, yeah, rap, funk, disco. But it's all like DIY, lo-fi kind of thing. So yeah, you might like that to check out. Right. There was some other stuff. Yeah, I thought that. There's some other stuff as well, and I can't remember what it is. I went back into John Mouse again, kind of went down a bit of a spiral there. At the drive-in as well, randomly, even though these aren't new things. There was other stuff and I just can't remember what it was. But that's me musically anyway. Maybe you'll like that at least.
The other thing I was going to tell you is I finished watching The X-Files season 9.
Oh, you got there. I've almost caught up, which is crazy. I dropped off. Season 9 was when it originally ended, right?
Yeah.
It's in like the original series.
Exactly. Ending. Yeah. I didn't mind that last episode as much as I did the first time.
You must. Cause, what with the cave?
Well, obviously I knew it was coming.
Right.
You know, the whole retcon of cigarette smoking man being dead and then immediately killing him again.
Yeah.
Which seemed really pointless.
Yeah.
And just like Doggett and Reyes just totally then like, we're going to completely marginalize you and we're just going to quickly wrap up the whole super soldier thing. But yeah, because I knew all that was coming. I was kind of like, I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. And I was like, it's okay. But I thought I'd mention it because obviously now, then the very next day I was in the charity shop and I found the Series 10 DVD.
Right.
But I thought maybe we could watch the film X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Yeah, the one with, what's his name? Billy Connolly in it, playing a pedo, psychic pedo.
Oh, he's in it, is he? Yeah. I have seen it once.
Yeah, it's something to do with the animals. It's like a vet or something. It's weird because it's like just an extended episode.
Potentially, yeah. That came like, like 6-7 years after the end of that series.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's next on my kind of X-Files journey. So I thought if you've caught up to that, then
we could do
a show on it because I don't think many people talk about it.
No, I'm up to, I think I've just finished or recently finished the one with Lucy Lawless in it. Xena Warrior Princess.
That's pretty much the first episode of season 9, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay, so...
You've got a few to go through there, but...
Yeah.
Knowing you and your rate...
Yeah, well, that's the problem now, is that... Because we watch it as a couple, me and my wife, she hates it now. So it's like when I'm like, she watches the X-Files, she's like, I don't know if I can... Now it's very difficult to kind of... get her back into that mind frame. So it might take a while to kind of get that ball rolling again.
That's funny though, because that was the mindset of the American audience at the time. Yeah. Like the drop-off across season 9 is crazy. Like when you look at the viewing figures on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I bet. It's insane. And also like, the one thing that I really hated was that I really still, even when I'm watching it, like Doggett.
Yeah, we're Doggett
fans. Patrick's character, yeah. And it's like, I can't remember, don't ruin it for me, because I can't remember how it ends with him. I don't know what happens. But there is that part of me, it's like, he didn't get a fair shot and maybe the remakes should have brought him in. Have you caught up? So if you watched the latest?
Yes. But when they were broadcast, which was like a few years ago now, right?
Yeah, so you've seen the Mulder and Scully's son, and he jumps into the ocean, cigarette smoking man, and all this.
Yeah, kind of forgotten it though a bit, but I remember it all was quite shit, all the mythology arc stuff, and there were about 4 or 5 quite good episodes.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. They done dirty by Doggett.
Yeah, they did. I heard that it was like Duchovny and Anderson were actually a bit pissed off because they felt like. They were trying to like strong arm Doggett into like being like the X-Files, the face of the X-Files a little bit and all this. And it's a bit like, yeah, but Duchovny, you fucked off. And also like when I'm watching Doggett, I was saying to Tess, like, imagine all his lines. Imagine all his lines, he's saying it, and then apply them to Mulder, to Duchovny, essentially. And it's like, it is nowhere near as intense as how Robert Patrick could do it. Because Mulder's like, it's just Duchovny's acting is very just like, you know, fucking hippie, like laid back, whatever. And
but
then,
I mean, it's two very different characters. I think Duchovny's really good as well.
But well, they are different. They are, and then they are different characters. Yes, but and that's why it annoys me when in the big conspiracy episodes they suddenly try and turn him into an action hero, and they have him like shouting and like running around and pinning guys up to the wall and like running around with a gun, and it's like who the fuck's this guy?
Yeah,
this isn't Mulder. It's like it's like when the Red Letter Media guys talk about Star Trek and how like. Star Trek, like the Next Generation TV show, it's like Patrick Stewart was like, it was never about violence. He was always about finding, like, it was very cerebral and all this stuff. And then it went to the films and he's like walking around topless with like a gun, like just killing people. And they're like, it's just not, it just doesn't work. It's not the same. And that's what I feel like with these episodes in Mulder, which is why it's, I find it weird, because then I'm like, that's more what Doggett should be doing, and Doggett is a great character, but just Duchovny just doesn't have the fucking chops to do it. And also, like, he went off and he tried to do, what did he do? He did a cameo in Zoolander. He did Evolution, which I actually like as a film, but it absolutely bombed.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he did a couple of other things, and it's just like, ugh, it's awful now. But did you know, he's like, I think that we talked about this before, he's like a proper successful author now.
Well, Duchovny?
Yeah, like he's released a whole ton of books that have done really well. And I think he's going to star, he's going to star in and produce a version of one of his books, which is weird because that's basically what Californication is essentially. The whole premise of that is about, did you ever watch Californication?
No.
It's, for me, I felt like it was an excuse for Duchovny just to like act like David Duchovny and be like this man who, that women can't resist, and him to be like, cast whatever woman he wanted and play a smooch him and, you know, get naked with him or whatever and all this stuff. I mean, it is like everything is sex. Like the whole thing is sex constantly. But that's the thing as well, is that Duchovny's all like, oh, I'm just like I'm a writer and I'm so corner wear black all the time. I'm just going around like fucking whoever I want and wear shades and I've got some shitty car, but I hate myself. Oh, I'm so emo. And all this, and it's like, but no one can resist me, and I'm so cool.
That's funny because like, he was in the Red Shoe Diaries, wasn't he?
Sorry,
he's gone full circle.
Yeah, well, he got done for being a sex addict. He was one of the first for like coming out as a sex addict, and because he kept cheating on Tia Leone time after time. If you remember, starred in an episode of X-Files as well.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite funny because that had Larry Sanders in, from the Larry Sanders show. I can't remember what his actual name was. And did you ever watch Larry Sanders?
No, but I know who he is. He's an episode of the X-Files.
Yeah. So you know when they're doing the TV version and they've got Tia Leone playing like the Scully character. They have a shootout over a graveyard, and at one point I thought Tim Heidecker was in it, but it's not him. And yeah, so that guy who played, oh god, it's going to absolutely kill me what the guy's name is, but Larry Sanders guy, who I'm a big fan of. But yeah, if you ever watched
Larry, it's Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling, yes, there we go, thank you.
Gary Shandling.
Larry Sanders Show is one of my favourite comedies of all time. But, like, hands down, I'd say it's, like, top five of my favourite comedies. And I love the premise of it and everything. But part of it is that David Duchovny comes on as himself, as one of the guests, and all this. But the thing is that it's David Duchovny, the whole, like, running joke is that David Duchovny is actually gay for Larry Sanders and fancies him, and Larry Sanders doesn't really know what to do. Like he feels a bit awkward about it and all this stuff, which is quite funny. And yeah, so that's why it's quite, because they're obviously must be mates or whatever, and that's why he was in that next one, all this stuff. Yeah,
call me cynical, but it feels like it might have been a bit of like a PR move to put it out there. I'm a sex addict.
Oh, right. When he got caught cheating. If you remember, it was on the news. Like, he had multiple affairs. Tia Leone left him, whatever, and all this stuff. It all just got the news. Then it came out. I think it was more a reactionary thing to that, being like, I'm a sex addict. I can't help it. Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like, that's the thing, is that, he did Red Shoe Diaries, which is basically soft porn, even though he wasn't in, we did his whole thing in it, if you've ever watched it, is he walks around with his dog, he reads a letter, it then transitions to a dramatization of some letter. Porn. Some soft porn comes up and it ends with him and his dog going, and just like, that's it. It's really weird. That's the kind of premise. And then California Occasion is just pure sex. He did that thing recently. What was it? It's called, like, it wasn't Swordfish, but it was something like that, where he played like a detective or something like that. But I don't think he did very well. And then he came back to it as well, so
the man's an auteur.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough. Like, if he's writing his books, I'd be the same. Like, just sit there writing books if they're doing well.
Yeah, great for him.
But Dan,
we've hit the half hour mark.
Yeah,
maybe we should wrap.
Okay, let's wrap. We've gone
from Miami Connection to David Duchovny's erection. We've covered it all.
We have. All right, I tell you what. Let's put pause in it there, and then I'll catch you up with a bit more on the next one. Let's do that. All right. Bye, everyone. See ya. Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening, and see you again soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.